I'm Stacey Mitchell, and you're listening to Something Even Better, a podcast about letting go of old dreams and what's not working so you can make room for something even better, where we explore the many unexpected twists we all go through to find our way to more aligned and meaningful work and lives. Welcome back to a new episode of Something Even Better. I've had some really amazing feedback on this new podcast direction, and I just want to thank you all for listening and for being here. Today, we're going to talk about something I feel like a lot of people wonder about, right? At least I do. Do you ever look at people who have really interesting or cool jobs or businesses and think, how in the world did you get this kind of work? Maybe I'm a bit odd, but I have always been obsessed with the people who have off the beaten path, interesting jobs. I want the backstory, you know? Like, how did you end up as a celebrity wedding planner or as a personal stylist? Or as a life coach, or owning your own pottery studio, or being a professional blogger. I could go on and on and on. I love hearing the twists and turns of how someone's work ends up coming to them through all kinds of chance encounters. And that's why this week I'm going to get a little bit nerdy and deep dive into my absolute favorite career development theory, planned happenstance. And why I think its lessons are crucial for anyone who wants to create a more meaningful and interesting life and career. And let me go ahead and say, even though I just used the word theory, I promise this will be interesting, so stay tuned. So let's just dig right in, right? I like to just get to the point. What is planned happenstance theory and how does it help you get a more interesting job or, you know, find more interesting work in your life? So planned happenstance theory was created by John Krumbholz, who was a Stanford psychologist whose most recent book and course was called Fail Fast, Fail Often, which, you know, I totally agree with as a solid career and business philosophy. Unfortunately, Krumbholz passed away in 2019, but he left a legacy of helping others find their right work by not planning so much and by taking action instead. That fail fast, fail often approach. At its core, planned happenstance theory states that there is no way to perfectly plan one's career path and that to have the most meaningful, interesting career, you must stay open to chance and unplanned events. And even more, you want to provide yourself with more of these kinds of opportunities. And this is why planned happenstance has always been my favorite theory, because it really rejects this idea of one and done career planning or career matching. And you probably know what I'm talking about. Maybe you had one of those assessments that you took in high school, maybe college, that gave you a list of 50 some careers and told you the 5, 10, 20 you'd be best at. It takes into consideration your interests, your skills, whatever. But it leaves out the thousands of paths that aren't standard, as well as all the super interesting jobs that you can't even imagine existing yet, right? Just a few years in the future. And we know that those assessments never really work out for most folks, but we keep using them. And to be really honest, many of my past clients have come from following these kinds of assessments. And then, of course, they really don't like their work, right? They might be lawyers or accountants or teachers or whatever other mainstream career path they were told to follow. But this theory also rejects something else too. It's something that I think is so important that unfortunately is not talked about nearly enough. And it's this idea that all of us have total, full control of our careers, which in reality, we just don't. I'm not saying that we don't have control of our reactions to obstacles, but it's more that those obstacles are real, and sometimes we can't overcome them. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes we can pivot. Sometimes we have to be willing to let go. And sometimes things are just totally out of our own control, which makes it that much more important not to get tunnel vision about our career paths. If we are so focused on one right path, we may miss out on more interesting opportunities for us or get sucked into working all the time. And we can't create connections outside of our very narrow field, or we never try anything new, and thus we have absolutely zero idea of what other work we'd ever want to do if for some reason our chosen career path goes away, or if we just hate what we're doing at some point. And now that we know the basics of the theory, let's talk about its application in our real lives. Here's my first tip. Give yourself the gift of work-life balance. If you don't have time for friends or hobbies outside of your work, you could be cutting off so many opportunities to find your most interesting work. Whatever you choose to do outside of your job, there are possibilities for chance encounters that could change your life. You could join a softball league and make friends with someone who works in an industry you didn't even know existed, but that you now find fascinating. And you would already have an in, right? So don't discount the importance of your life outside of your work. Giving yourself this balance also lessens the blow should you ever be laid off or should you decide to walk away from your chosen career. Because your identity is so much more than your work. And this is true. This is true even if you love your work. It is incredibly dangerous not to have a life outside of work, and it puts you at a much higher risk for burnout and for other mental health issues should you hit bumps in your career path, which, let's be honest, the majority of us will at some point. Second tip, stay curious and never stop learning. I don't care if it's through online courses or books or college courses or podcasts, whatever works for you, but it's incredibly important to stay curious throughout your life. Continuous learning is good for your brain, and it also reduces your chances of dementia. And whatever skills you learn or interests you pursue can potentially set you up for your most meaningful, interesting work ever. And this is true even if you think they are disconnected. If you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Work will never, you know, come back to me painting rocks or something, right? But you never know. And case in point, I didn't know that pursuing coaching, teaching, my interest in digital marketing and learning about online business, I did not know that that was going to all roll up into this perfect job, right? This dream unicorn job, because honestly, that job never existed until now. There was no way I could have planned for that. And it only happened because I kept following my own interest and staying curious and learning and forever learning, right? And I don't know what's going to come next. I can't plan for everything, but I do plan on following my interest, learning, and seeing what happens. Which takes me to the third thing. Get better at handling ambiguity and uncertainty. So this is hard. This comes up with, I would say, pretty much every person I've ever coached at least once. Uncertainty is scary. We all want this very clear A to Z plan for getting what we want. We want to be 110% sure that we will get what we want before we ever make the decision to go after it. I know that there's people out there that are like, oh no, this is me. But unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. Interesting jobs and careers, they just don't work that way. We have to get comfortable with our paths looking different than we expected when we first set out to walk them. And that's really what happenstance means. It's all up to chance. When we take actions to get what we want, we see the results and we pivot as needed. And it's almost always messier than we'd like it to be. And many, many times the goals that we set initially shift as we start to take action. And you probably heard it. There's a saying that's really common in the coaching world and in the business world because it is so true. Action brings clarity. Without taking action, everything is theoretical. It is not real life. And if it's not real life, it is very hard to know your real feelings and to make real decisions because we don't have real data to go off of, right? I'll give you an example. I was really scared to quit my job. I got a lot of coaching on quitting my job. And now I have another job, but it's beside the point. But I was very scared because I couldn't predict exactly what was going to happen. But what I think is funny about that is that I thought I could predict exactly what was going to happen in my job, which is hilarious because we all know we're just fooling ourselves with these thoughts. Like we can actually control exactly what's going to happen in any scenario, right? But these thoughts will always persist. We want the known, right? We love control. And I think planned happenstance is really about giving some of that control back to where it's honestly always been, chance. We don't always know exactly how things are going to happen. And when we embrace the messiness of life, we stop trying to force ourselves into a box that no longer fits. We know we are going to change over time. We know that nothing actually lasts forever, as hard as that is to face. It's one of the hardest things it is to face, I think, right? And thus, we never get overly attached to any one thing or one identity for ourselves, which is so important when it comes to keeping yourself open to more interesting work. Okay, next. Community is everything. Every time I pivot in my career, I ask for help from my community. When I started my coaching business, I asked my friends and my family to follow me on social media, promote my content, let others know. I asked friends to come on my podcast because it's fun. I asked my friends to put in a good word when I apply for a job I really want, if I know they have connections there. And I do want to make it clear, it's not all about me either. Like I send my friends and even my acquaintances and former clients interesting jobs I think they'd like. I send them articles or podcasts they'd like. I return the favor of putting in a good word if I can. I don't use the word networking here because I think that brings up a lot of gross feelings for a lot of people because it feels like you're using people to get ahead, and that's not at all what I'm talking about here. Having a community is about having people you like and love that help you through transitions and that you do the same for them, right? And to make these kinds of connections, to build this community, you really want to take much of the same advice we've already talked about. You got to make room for it in your life. You have to try something new. Join a book club or a church or a yoga class or a hiking group, whatever strikes you as fun, and get out there and meet people. I don't know, I'm going to guess most of you have probably heard of Meetup, but I've used it before. It's an excellent platform for finding groups like these where you can meet people, bond over, you know, similar topics that you're into. And, you know, you won't be BFFs with everyone that you meet. That's just not possible. But creating your own community matters when it comes to increasing your chances at once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunities. It just does. And it's fun. And having a strong community provides a lot of protection against mental health issues like depression and anxiety. It's really important. And I know it's hard for some people. I get that. I'm an introvert. I feel that. One of my most popular Instagram stories recently was talking about going on a friend date and how uncomfortable it was. I totally understand. But I do think it is important if you want to increase your happiness. It's not even just about increasing your chances at interesting work. It's about like having a fun life, a fun, interesting, happy life. And finally, some of you might hate me for saying this, but if you want an interesting job or if you want interesting work, become an interesting person. When we become adults, there's this, I don't know exactly what it is. We get this belief that fun is over, right? And I have actual work to do. I have responsibilities. This isn't rational. It doesn't make sense for me to join a roller derby group, right? It doesn't make sense for me to take up a hobby painting rocks. It doesn't make sense for me to study coding just because I'm interested in it. like, or it's fun to me. But it's so important that we keep trying new things. I think we get to a certain age and we're like, well, life is over. And it's usually a really young age where we have 40, 50 years ahead of us. And we're like, well, I didn't do it when I was in my 20s, so I can never do it. And it's wrong. And it's such a harsh way of thinking about life, right? Well, I didn't do it when I was like 25, so I can't do it now at 35. And it's so silly. And yet I see it all the time. But keep trying new things. Explore things you're curious about. It's about chasing the fun without forcing everything you try to become your next career move, which I know may sound counterintuitive here, but so many of my clients have this attitude of, well, I'm really only going to take that class or join that book club or start a podcast or whatever it is if I know that it's going to give me a job, make me money, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? You see where I'm going. But it's not about that at all. It's really about keeping doors open for yourself to explore. It's about learning because you want to learn. It's about taking action because it's fun. It's about making things not so serious all the time. I mean, remember what it was like to play as a kid? It's like that, right? And the side effect is not only a more interesting, meaningful work life, but a more interesting life, period. And honestly, what is not to love about that, right? So I hope this helps some of you out there. I do think we tend to get stuck. We get stuck in an identity, stuck in habits, stuck in routine, and then it keeps us from exploring, from seeing all of these new, different possibilities, the excitement of all the things that are still open to us in the world. And I just want you to know, you don't have to do anything huge to do this kind of exploration. It could be so simple. It could be so small, but it could change your life. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I really want to encourage you to think of just one person who could benefit from listening and send it to them right now. Remember how I talked about creating that strong community? Why not start now? Share this with someone who could use it. And of course, if you have multiple people, that's amazing. Let's get the word out. Let's get more people having fun in their lives, right? And I want to encourage you to join my email list. You can head to the show notes. There's a link there and sign up for my really like bi-monthly email, so twice a month. I am trying to dedicate myself, note the trying, to spending less and less time on social media these days, but I really love sharing my more private musings and stories, some of them really silly, through my email list. And I swear it's only a couple months and you can unsubscribe at any time, though of course, I hope you won't want to. All right, thanks for listening and I will see you soon.
If you love this podcast, why not share it with your friends, your family, your favorite social media profile, literally everyone you know. And take a minute to give me a review wherever you listen. I love reading the reviews, and sharing is always caring.